You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Pacers fans, welcome into the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman. As always, I'm a staff at IndyCornrows.com. And joining me on the other line for the second time this week now, we're doing two podcasts, maybe three this week together, is Mr. Tony East. Tony, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm amped seeing Luka Doncic win the ACB title, so he will be at the draft. I'm excited for the draft because it's always crazy. And I'm also not excited because I'm going to look like an idiot for my whatever I think is going to happen is not going to happen.
It sounds like Luka's going to fall to at least the fourth pick.
I know. It's crazy. Well, there is two guys that I personally have above him, but three, it's crazy. It's, I don't know. I think some teams are going to look stupid for not picking him.
Yeah, some teams have. I think some, at least in the NBA world out there, not teams, but like media members have Luka number one, but all the teams seem to have Aiden number one by far.
Arizona is going to regret their draft pick quite a bit.
I don't know about that one because they already have a guard.
Yeah, but who cares? They are not in a position to not pick the best player. Like the Pacers, except they should pick the best player who's not a center.
Yeah, well, Aiden be the best player, but the Pacers aren't getting Aiden, so it doesn't really matter. So for today's podcast, we're going to do a special, just completely entire draft edition. This is going to post just now on a Wednesday probably or Thursday before the draft. Obviously, these takes will be bad once the draft ends, but we'll do complete drafting. We have a bunch of questions set up, so that's what today's podcast is going to be. So are you ready to do the first question?
Let's go. Let's talk some draft.
All right. So I gave Tony these ahead of time so he could prepare, luckily, this time.
It's so fun to just not prepare and we do awful. All right.
So the first question I had was, do the Pacers trade this pick and for what? So
go ahead.
I say there's probably a couple options out there. Do you want me to give you the ones I'm thinking top of my head, or do you want to give me some first?
I will cut off one thing that I think is not going to happen.
Okay.
I think that there is minimal chance that something happens like in 2016 where they trade the pick for a guy like Thad Young. I don't think they trade it for a veteran.
Okay, that's fair. I don't see that either. But just hypothetically, who could they get for the 23rd pick? Like, who's kind of a player out there you see as a value at 23?
I think it'd be in a value trade to move up or down. Something like taking 30 and 34 from Atlanta, or moving up with like Fareed or something like that. I think a lot of those make a lot more sense, and it depends on the value you see from those moves. With the pick itself, you know, is the pick, like, is moving from 23 to 14 enough to take Fareed, or, you know, is moving back six slots to get another second rounder right there good value? Like, stuff like that, I think, is what you have to assess, and I think what they are most likely to do, if anything.
So you brought up the first one I was going to bring up, and that was the trade for Fareed at 14. So yeah. A hypothetical trade would be Al Jefferson, the 23rd pick, for Fareed and the 14th pick.
I'm not sure Al would be in it. I think they would just absorb him.
Yeah, they just absorb, not even give up the dead money?
Correct.
Okay. How do they
– Because I don't think Denver would want the $4 million. No, but
how do they absorb the million before the end of the year? Because they need contracts to work, or they only have $6 million in space. Oh,
right. Shoot, it's this cap season still. Never mind. Yeah, they would have to. Well, they could always just not make it official until next league season, like they did with the PG trade.
Okay, I guess they could do that, but there's too many days and too many things could happen between. First of all, you have to wait a month for the draft to trade a pick, right? So you really have to wait until July, late July, to do this.
Yes.
So really, it's not. You have to make the trade today because you can't bank on it happening in a month. You just can't.
There's too
many moving parts.
No, you can't.
Well, there's the Thad Young contract. It's a moving part. There's.
They are all decided by July.
You still don't know. There's too many moving parts with Jokic's contract, too. If you get the max extension, which is probably will. There's too many moving parts to happen in a month. So it has to happen on draft, which means Al Jefferson will be involved in it.
Probably. That's true.
So then the question is, this draft is probably, what, 12 really solid guys, and then the 12 to 18 range is kind of where it's up in the air, give or take. And that's where the kind of the next level if you tier off the draft is. So is 14 really worth it? But maybe a guy from the top 12 tier falls down to like the 14 range.
I think it's like 1 through 8 is a tier, and then 8 through 14, and then pretty much 15 through 25 or 26 is the same tier. I think that's how it breaks for me.
Okay. I'm thinking, I heard somewhere that maybe like the tier from about 18 to 40 is relatively, there's anybody can go in that range almost. Only the 20 guys possible basically can go in that range.
I think after the top 8, which you've heard about their names for a million times, I think the next group will be like Jair, Kevin Knox, Lonnie Walker. Holy cow. How am I blanking so hard on these names? I could need to pull one up. There's 6 of them that I had in this tier when I made this literally before we did this, but I decided not to bring my list from work with me.
Is
can you believe that? Okay. Group 2 for me is, yes, Knox, SGA, Miles Bridges, Sexton, Lonnie Walker, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
So what if like a Trae Young falls to 14?
No chance.
No chance. There is some buzz that might fall, right? That's kind of the most recent draft buzz.
That's fall out of top 10, fall out of the top like 5 or 6.
Oh, I thought if he could drop out of the top 8, there was a thought.
I would draft Trae Young number 4. Isn't that crazy?
So your top 4 is Doncic, and this is no particular order. Doncic, Aiden.
No.
You don't have Aiden number. You have Aiden at the top 4.
My top 4 is Michael Porter Jr., Jaren Jackson Jr., Luka Doncic, Trae Young.
Okay, so you're just out of the box. Purposely being against the flow, Aiden's gonna suck, right?
Aiden stinks on defense, and Wendell Carter stinks on defense. Wendell's okay on D. Marvin Bagley stinks on defense. And if his shot doesn't translate, I don't think he'll be good at all. Mo Bamba is my 5. But I don't think his shot is real at all. So he's kind of a rim running guy. And then Carter's good, but not sensational. So that's my next group. But I like my top 4. I think Porter's going to be the best player.
I'm not going to bait you on Aiden right now. I'm not going to do it.
I know. People like Aiden. Fine.
I mean, I agree. There's just deficiencies like that. But he's not outside the top 3. But I'm not going to take the bait.
The Pacers are huge, though. You're right.
So then another trade for the Pacers possibly is to trade up even further, right? Is there a way to get to the 4th pick with Chandler Parsons? I had kind of one thought.
Yeah, that's been discussed a lot. We even talked about it, and I would love that because of that top 4 group I just named for myself. I think all those guys are surefire all-stars at some point. And I don't know what you'd have to send out because there's no way the Grizz don't want some kind of contributor in return. But if 23 and Bojan or something like that, or 23 Bojan and Sabonis gets you up to 4, I think I would do that.
So you give up Sabonis?
Yeah, to get to 4, yeah, I would do it.
So is there a particular player there? Is it Doncic if he falls to there?
Porter, Jaren Jackson Jr., Doncic, and Trae Young.
So you would trade up to 4 to get Porter?
Yeah, if he was there, or whatever one of those guys were there.
Even though Porter probably is going to be, what, 6 to 8 range, it seems like?
No, that's – I don't think he'll go top 4 or 5, actually.
No, I think – I thought 5th was the kind of spot he's going to go, probably.
Maybe. I mean, I feel like Doncic is going to go 5 in real life, but we'll see. We have no idea.
No, we really have no idea. So then here's a hypothetical trade for you, and this maybe you can throw it out. We were talking about it. We were texting yesterday. So it's hang with me for a second. So the 3-teamer, so with the Hornets and with the Grizzlies. So the Pacers in this trade theoretically end up with Chandler Parsons and Kemba Walker, and they send out, and it works salary cap, but they basically send out Bojan, Al, TJ Leaf, and Darren Collison. Would you do that? And then you end up in your pick this year. So you're not moving up in the draft, but you are essentially moving with around that 4th pick to absorb a salary, give the 4th pick to Charlotte, give the 11th to Memphis. Would you do a trade like that involving your 23rd pick?
I would not take on Parsons to get Kemba, no.
Okay. So the 23rd pick would end up on one of those teams, depending on who needed it more. But would you do that? So you wouldn't – it would fit financially where – you would basically you'd be set. So you would have Kemba and Parsons would fit right into the Bojan and Collison roles, and then you'd have like $8 million in space, give or take, to bring in maybe one more guy.
Yeah, Parsons is bad.
So the question with Parsons is he bad because of his injuries, or his injuries so bad that he can't get back to where he was?
I think he proved this year that he couldn't get back to where he was just because did he play over half the games this season?
I think he played like 30.
Close, 36, yeah. He's played a combined 70 games his last 2 years, which is insanely bad. But he was not good this year.
I just wonder if you can get 50 healthy games out of Parsons in a playoff run of where he was at, let's say, his last year in Dallas, was like 13 points a game, which is pretty good on like 40% shooting from three. You could get that for 50 games and a playoff run. It'd probably worth it, right? I mean, I understand he's a lot of money, but in the same
player's game, you gone. Kemba. That player is gone. Yeah, he's 30.
Do you not think maybe if he gets a full year? I don't really know. I know last year he didn't have surgery, but he had constant issues with his knee and length of that. I don't know. You're not sure if he gets like a full rest and a better training staff maybe and can figure it out?
Yeah. Chandler Parsons stinks.
Okay. I mean, I'm just saying Memphis has some history of not – of guys getting injured at the wrong time. Like Conley's gotten hurt a lot. Like they don't seem to have this A-rated training staff.
Well, they got all – yeah, Parsons was hurt before they signed him. They're idiots for giving him that crazy money. And then Conley's the only other guy, I feel like, who got a big injury from them.
Didn't Gasol have an injury at some point?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't remember. We're drifting away again. For another hypothetical trade, the Wizards are reportedly looking okay with moving down if you'll take on one of their expiring contracts. And I'm guessing the only one most Pacers fans would do it for is Markieff Morris, but they have Gortat expiring, Jason Smith expiring, Thomas Satoransky expiring, Jody Meeks expiring. So there are some moves they could make out of 15.
So it would be taking on less money than – basically it would be the same trade you made with the Nuggets, but for a little – one more pick back, right? They're 15, and for maybe a little less overall money, right, expiring.
Yeah, how much money are you willing to take on to move up 8 spots? And it's going to be less than Fareed, no matter who it is, because Gortat even makes less than Fareed.
Yeah, I mean, Fareed makes, what, 13 or 14?
Yeah, 14 and a half or something. Yeah.
So you probably wouldn't do it for Gortat, because I think you almost rather have Fareed than Gortat.
Right.
Or maybe not.
I don't think the Wizards would do it for Morris because he's good.
he's properly paid. 8.6, he's valued. So then you have to take on, like, two contracts, like one.
No, you could do Jason Smith if the Wizards thought falling back 5 spots was worth cutting almost $6 million, and I think that makes some sense.
Yeah, because that what were Smith's stats last year? Do you have him?
I can get him really quick while you talk.
Because I just don't know much about Jason Smith. That's why I figured he didn't play a lot.
He's not awful. Like he's probably an Al Jefferson level talent, but he's not very good. 3.4 points and 1.6 rebounds in 8 minutes a game.
So basically, you'd be taking on $5 million of dead space to move up 8 picks.
Yes.
Which they had that in cap last year, technically, right? They had it in cap space. So
they could do that.
And so you'd basically be giving up your opportunity to really get another free agent, probably. And you're kind of in a jam because if Thad Young leaves, you need enough money to go after. You probably still have enough money, but you need a lot of money to go after another power forward. And I don't know if you would do that just to move up 8 spots, depending on who's there. It all depends who's available at 14 or 15. Like, you know, if Colin Sexton falls, I could see that. I mean, I don't know if Lonnie Walker's quite worth it. It's sort of that thing.
I love Lonnie Walker, actually. I think he's pretty good.
But
I think that Kevin Knox, you know, Zhaire Smith, someone's going to be there, right? One of those guys will be there.
Yeah, probably. I mean, the thing is these trades seem like something that the Raptors are going to do. Raptors want SGA. They can get to the 14 or 15. The problem is they can't take on money, but they have enough talent and young guys that can probably piece together a decent trade.
Yeah, they totally could. I think they want to get to 10.
Yeah, but SGA could fall into 15 easily.
Maybe. He hasn't done any workouts. That's super. Can we talk about the trading back to Atlanta at 30 and 34?
Yeah. So what do you, what's your theory behind that one or your idea?
I think you get, I mean, what's the actual difference between player 23 and 30 in terms of talent?
I, like I said, I think 18 to 40 are all relatively the same. There's just, there's slight changes, but I think it's close enough. It doesn't matter.
So if you could even get like Mel, like this side I'm on right now, the two guys going 30, 34 is Melvin Frazier and Shake Milton. Like that'd be a great draft for the Pacers to me.
Yeah. You think they would take Jalen Brunson then at some point?
I'm assuming he would be gone.
Oh, you're assuming he's gone by 30, but
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that would be a good draft. Again, it's what we still don't have an idea of what they really want. If we think they want a 3-and-D wing, right? That's like kind of a prevailing thing around the league or around.
Yeah, everybody wants wings. That's why I like Frazier.
And I guess you're just giving, I mean, if you value to 18, like 18 to 40 is the same, you're really just giving your two more, an extra shot at one of those players. So maybe that would probably be worth it, but I don't know why Atlanta would do that.
Because they have like six picks and not enough roster spots for all the guys.
Does Atlanta have another first round pick? Don't they have not only 21?
20 or 19.
19, right? The 16 is owned by the Suns.
They why have would four Atlanta... picks. They have four picks.
So they have.
I don't even know if they have four roster spots.
So they have 3, 19, 30, and 30, or 30, 30 and 32?
Yeah.
So they could probably package 19, 30, and 32 to go up and get somebody if they really wanted to.
Yeah, they could.
Right? I just don't know why they would. If they're in the same mindset as the Pacers that they can.
If they like somebody, if somebody falls to 23 that they really like, I don't know. You never know.
Yeah. I don't. You know, I guess, again, I guess it's where you value 18 to 40. If you have a cutoff of like 25 and you think there's nobody above these 25 guys and they're not going to be available at 30, then why do it? But if you really value anybody from 20 to 40 at the same, that doesn't matter. So that's kind of where I'm at on that.
And the same, another thing is, I don't know how this value would work, but the Sixers have 26, 38, 39, and they have, I think, four second rounders and a first rounder and two first rounders. So they can't take six guys on their roster. They don't have six slots for guys. So they're definitely trading at least two of those second rounders, if you ask me. So I think there's a move to make with 26 and some second rounders for Philly also.
But you forgot about the old draft two European stash them away move.
That's true. They draft the next Jonah Boldins.
No, but that's a move. A lot of teams that have all these picks. I mean, the Celtics did the same thing.
It's smart. No, it's smart.
Yeah,
but they can take cash. They can take cash too.
Okay. Well, speaking of guys who might go 18 to 40, I tease it. How much do you like Jalen Brunson? We've had a question off there, I think. But how much do you like him?
He is my number one, a reasonable pick for the Pacers.
So you think? So then, a lot. Should they take him at 23?
Yeah, I would. If he's on the board, I would very much like if they picked him.
Okay, because I think a couple of days ago, you said they probably shouldn't, and I was sort of wondering.
He's always been my favorite guy.
Yeah, but I thought you said 23 was too high to pick him.
I mean, I like him enough that I would do it, but I think given other people's assessments and other draft boards, there's a way that you move back and get him.
So then we think he goes, what? You think he goes, what, 26 to 28 range?
Something like that. Yeah.
So, I mean,
to 35, like you have to go by 10 picks.
Yeah. If he's going to go 30, why not take him at 23? There's not that big of a difference. That crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I like Jalen Brunson personally, and I think he's good. But I think at 23, especially if there's like one particular guy the Pacers won and he doesn't get there at 23, why not take the shot on that kind of kid? But I don't know. I could see him going a bunch of ways. So Brunson's your favorite guard in this draft, right?
Reasonable for the Pacers to pick. Yeah.
Let's do that. Let's preface that way. So then, who is your favorite forward?
My favorite forward, oh man, he's kind of like a guard forward, but I'll still go with him. Troy Brown is my favorite forward.
Why?
He's a really good defender. I think his shot's going to come around. He's really smart. He's quick. I think he's got a lot of tools to be a good player.
Okay. My favorite reasonable pick, Chandler Hutchinson, personally.
Chandler Hutchinson's in my three wings. He's really good. If he wasn't 22, I'd like him a lot more.
Yeah, he's a little older, but I thought, you know, I'm picking up guys that can bring value, I guess, next year because they need somebody in the small forward spot next year, probably as a backup at least, if they don't sign one, but they might go after and sign one. And they need some kind of center power forward backup, right? some stretch.
Yeah, I don't believe in like NBA ready as much as most people. Like, I think it's a thing, but I think it's more random. Like, Donovan Mitchell was NBA ready, and no one would have said that last year, you know?
Well, I think common thing among NBA ready guys is when they're 2 or 3 years in college.
Mitchell only went for 2 years, right? I mean, I don't know if I believe in that much.
I mean, that's a value. Mitchell was 21 when he came to the league versus.
He played at Boise State. Like, it's going to be a huge change in the game for him. I think he's really good. I just don't know if he'll be like a contributor year one.
Yeah, but I mean, a guy like Paul George played at Fresno State, and he contributed by midway through his first season.
He did. That's true.
And so, I mean, you never know. I mean, honestly, you never know. I mean, some of these really talented guys go to smaller schools because they didn't grow. Like, he could have been 6'1 out of high school, and that's why he went to Boise State. I don't know. I didn't know enough in depth about it, but like, that was Paul George's thing. He was like, I think Paul George was like 6'5 coming out of high school, and then he became 6'9 in like 3 years.
Right. So, I mean, definitely. It's certainly a thing. I don't fall into that line of thinking as much as other people do.
Is there any center, if they didn't have two centers already, they couldn't, you like the Pacers to take?
I have one, but.
All right. Give me it.
I don't think they will. I don't think they should pick him, but Mitchell Robinson. I think Mitchell Robinson has high enough upside that you can take a swing at him and be happy with it. And if you trade Sabonis, you're happy that you have this very high upside dude in Mitchell Robinson. He's super freak athlete. Didn't play a single game of college basketball because of he like decommitted from Western Kentucky or something weird. But he was the number 8 recruit out of high school. He's a stud. He could be really good, and it might be worth the risk if, like, literally every other player I like was off the board. But I don't think they'll take a center.
Is it safe to say if they take a center, it means they're trading one of
– Yeah, 100%, yeah.
Or they must be really high on whoever they take at center. I mean, they must be
Yeah. That's the other thing, too. Like, look at any mock draft, like 10 through 30. Like, are there even two centers? It's pretty much just Robinson.
I mean, aren't the two centers at the top, and then after that, it just drops?
Yeah, there's like none after that. So he's probably the only one you – because of that, too. I mean, you could count Spellman as a center. He's not going to go till the second round, no chance. And then what is that other guy from Michigan, Mo Wagner? You could kind of count him as a center, I guess, but he's also a second rounder, so I don't know if there's anything.
Yeah, Wagner is – is he a center? Is he stretch four? I don't know. I don't know
Wagner. I don't know. I would like Wagner in the second round, but –
won't be available at 50.
Yeah, I doubt he's available at 50.
Anybody at 50? No,
my answer is no centers is my answer.
So who at 50 do you like?
What's that? Raul Alkins, I like from Arizona. Kind of a – he's not really good or, like, great at anything, but he's not bad at anything either. So I feel like he could just step in and be okay. I mean, not for a while, obviously, but I think eventually he could be somewhat okay. if he falls Landry Shamet, if he falls Devontae Graham, if he falls Javon Carter, I think that's my whole group. It's so hard to say who's going to be at 50, you know?
Yeah. Common name, just because I think BYO, because of this is like in the Big Ten area, Tony Carr, this Penn State point guard probably around there in 50s.
Yeah, and then Vince Edwards, if you're talking Big Ten.
Yeah, and then I think right now, a lot of mock drafts, they have Justin Jackson going.
I saw Justin Jackson, too. I don't know a ton about him, even though I watched Maryland a few times.
I mean, like, the big – Devontae Graham is kind of a big-name guy. Schmidt is basically because we saw him work out the first day with the Pacers. That's kind of – but, I think they could go a lot of ways here. I think second round pick just go with – guy on the board.
I think they'll draft best player available or sell it, honestly. Like, who knows?
I don't know if they sell it, because why do they need the money? They have Casper. What are they using the money for?
I don't know. Herb Simon wants a new car. I don't know.
Herb Simon has billions of dollars. He doesn't need $3.5 million.
Could have $5 million more. I'm trying to think.
Is $5 million is how much you can buy a second round pick for?
We used to love Trey Duvall. I kind of like that idea as a flyer, you know, if like the Pacers could even have some semblance of a jump shot, he'd be okay.
Yeah, but he can't shoot. He's so bad at shooting.
Not at all. Not at all. He is awful at shooting. I remember like last summer, this is how much basketball changes in the year. Like last summer, me and you were like, yeah, when they're in the lottery next year, they could draft Trey Duvall.
He was top 10 projected last year. I mean, he was going to be the number 2 point guard behind Sexton.
Yeah, it's going to be him and Sexton. And now they're both behind Trae Young, but. Yeah, we were so super stoked on this dude, and now he might like be available at 50. It's just crazy to think about.
Yeah, he was not good last year watching him.
I'm seeing a ton of buzz about this Josh Okogie guy from Georgia Tech. I'm gonna have to watch some film on him, but
yeah. So I think for the draft we'll come on live after both picks so people can figure, so we can break down whoever.
Yeah, it'll be up 50 Friday morning, but it'll be a jazzed up Tony and Adam for it, and we should totally start recording before they pick so we can get live reactions.
So maybe we'll start at like 21.
Yes, range. I love this idea.
Okay, I like that idea. So then the last thing we have in the draft, who was your favorite guy outside Jalen Brunson that they brought in?
They actually brought in. Interesting. They
actually brought in.
Ooh, that changes everything. I think I'm going to go with Bates Diop. I like the idea of a 3-4 hybrid guy who can shoot well enough and play good D. I think he could fit Pritchard stretch four mold while also being a good wing defender. Yeah, I just like him. I think he could be a good player in the NBA.
So I agree with you. That's what we picked in our mock draft for Lockdown NBA. Of first round picks they brought in, what, 3 or 4 of them tops?
Those they brought in DiVincenzo, Bates, Diop,
Brunson,
Melvin Frazier, Brunson. That's probably maybe it.
Right. So do you think they have somebody that's not
Bruce Brown? Maybe he's close.
Do you think they have somebody that didn't bring in that they could pick?
I don't know if they brought Leaf in last year.
They did. They brought Leaf in last year.
Okay, I know because. Well, I was talking about this with some people at Bolts Forever. Like their last two draft picks, the Wizards' last two draft picks, they didn't bring in ever. I don't know. So I don't know if it's an end all be all because, and a lot of guys won't work out for teams that they feel like are outside their range. So it's kind of hard to get guys that are, that I don't know, that think they're good.
Yeah.
I don't know. Oh, Musa. We forgot Musa.
And if they trade up too, none of the guys they worked out will be in the draft.
Absolutely not.
There'll be somebody else they just like they saw on tape.
Right. So there's probably only four guys they actually brought in that you could really say are your favorite for them to pick. I'm not super pumped about Musa. I think he could even stay in Europe a year. So I think the options are basically Bates Diop, DiVincenzo, or Jalen Brunson. And obviously Brunson's my favorite, but Bates Diop I like too.
Yeah, I could see him going outside those four guys too very easily. Depending on, I guess, because like, people right now say Bates Diop and Brunson are probably probably more in the late 20s than 23. So I could see him going with some other guy. If he like some of the guys in the 18 range, maybe falls out, something like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. And I think Pritchard's smart enough to know that, too. And they have more value like right away if you want to trade him, too. So who knows?
Yeah. So then the last question is, do the Pacers need this pick to contribute next year or in the next 2 years for them to even have to be good? Or is this kind of doesn't matter because he's 23?
No, you should never be in a situation where you need a rookie to contribute or someone young to contribute.
Okay, and are we sure Pritchard is good at drafting if you took TJ Leaf?
No, we're not sure Pritchard's good at drafting at all.
Right. What was last year in Portland, 2012?
I think you can look up specific guys.
You took Greg Oden, right?
I think Real Jam had something like that.
What did you say?
I'm looking. Sorry.
Wasn't he the GM that took Oden?
He took Oden, Josh McRoberts, and a bunch of guys who didn't play in the NBA.
So maybe he's not. I mean, but the thing is, Larry Bird is a very good drafter.
In 2008, he got Brandon Rush, Joey Dorsey, and Omer Asik. That's pretty good. That's three NBA guys.
Who? Pritchard?
In 2008, he drafted Brandon Rush, 13, which is fine. Joey Dorsey, 33rd, that's fine. Omer Asik, 36, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm just saying his strength isn't the draft, but Bird's is. But his strength is free agency, which isn't Bird, so it isn't like a nice little
team. He drafted Patty Mills in 2009 at 55. That's a good snag.
Yeah, but how did he end up on not the Trailblazers?
This is the Blazers in 2009.
I don't know, but why is Patty Mills ended up being good on the Spurs, not on the Blazers?
Oh, I don't know.
You know, I mean, some of that is his fault.
I don't know if he traded him away. They could have been after him.
That's true. I'm just saying, I'm not sold in his draft interest, put it that way.
No, I'm not either.
But I'm more sold on Burge because Burge has had consistently picked pretty good guys at the 10 to 15 range.
For what it's worth, too, the only workout Bird was at was the DiVincenzo Bates Diop workout. That I saw him at. The first one was the Shamit and Randoms group.
So maybe they're going to take one of DiVincenzo or Bates Diop.
Yes, maybe.
I think Bird has a lot of input on the draft. I don't know about free agency because I think Pritchard proved that last year he's pretty good at navigating that, but I think when it comes to the draft, Bird might have an outweighed opinion.
I hope so.
I mean, right, which one Larry Bird took.
Can I do one more question for you? Yeah,
go ahead.
The night is over, and you are pumped because the Pacers just had your dream draft. Who did they grab at 23 and 50? They didn't trade up or down.
They snagged Jalen Brunson, and they took a flyer on some 3-and-D guy in the second round.
Okay.
What's yours?
Assuming nobody falls, it's crazy. Mine would also be Brunson at 23 and my pick 50. My pick 50 would be Javon Carter. I love Javon Carter.
Okay. See, I don't have a guy at 50 because I don't know enough about when it comes that late.
I'd love Carter, but I don't think he'll be there.
I mean, like I said, they take Brunson, they don't need to take another guard in the second round. Like,
my true dream draft is they end up with Luka Doncic and Michael Porter, but that's not happening.
Yeah, I mean, if they could somehow flip, I would probably, if you could flip Sabonis or Turner and their pick plus whatever cap filler to get four and Chandler, and you get Doncic, I would do that in a heartbeat. But
he is going to be so good.
He's going to be really good, but sadly they'll probably end up with like Bates Diop, which is not necessarily bad, but it's just different.
Fine. Yes, it is.
Or some rando we're not big enough.
But yes, like I said a second ago, I think we're going to try to do a live recording during the pick. We haven't really texted about that, so I don't know.
Yeah, that's the plan, I think.
We'll have some on Friday about it. It'll be fun and exciting.
Yep,
and I'm excited to know what we're talk about again.
And then we'll be into free agency basically almost 1 week, 2 weeks away, a week away.
Yeah, we'll have a week to talk about the draft, and then free agency begins.
Right, it's the 19th of recording, so that gives us 11 days till, 10 days and 6 hours till midnight strikes, and all NBA goes to hell. And then Fed just opted dates between them.
In 10 days, they have to make a decision on Joe Young, Thad Young, Lance Stephenson, Collison, Bojan. Like, the next 10 days are going to be wild.
Right, and then Jefferson's midseason, right, his option.
Yeah, not him.
So
that not him. Don't worry about him.
Yeah. All right. So I think that's all we got for this Locked On Pacers podcast, right?
I think so.
All right. Well, as always, you can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Pacers. Follow Tony at T East NBA. Me at Freedom Adam 5. Give us a 5-star review on wherever you check out our podcast. You can tweet us questions about the draft. We'll try to answer them before the draft. If you have any questions when they make the pick, send them in on Twitter as immediately as the player's drafted, and maybe we'll answer them on air. Who knows? This is just Locked On Pacers podcast. As always, have a great rest of your day.